These Bible readings are from the Message version. Psalm 32. Count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you, and you're holding nothing back from him. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said, I'll come clean about my failures to God. Suddenly, the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. These things add up. Every one of us needs to pray. When all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we'll be on high ground, untouched. God's my island hideaway, keeps danger far from the shore, throws garlands of hosannas around my neck. Let me give you some good advice. I'm looking you in the eye and giving it to you straight. Don't be ornery like a horse or mule that needs bit and bridle to stay on track. God defiers are always in trouble. God affirmers find themselves loved every time they turn around. Celebrate God. Sing together, everyone, all you honest hearts. Raise the roof. And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, the test. Next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for the test. The devil was ready to give it. Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That left him, of course, in a state of extreme hunger, which the devil took advantage of in the first test. Since you are God's son, speak the word that will turn these stones into loaves of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth." For the second test, the devil took him to the holy city. He sat him on top of the temple and said, "Since you are God's son, jump." The devil goaded him by quoting Psalm 91. "He has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so that you won't so much as stub your toe on a stone." Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy, "Don't you dare test the Lord your God." For the third test, the devil took him to the peak of a high mountain. He gestured expansively, pointing out all the earth's kingdoms, how glorious they all were. And then he said, "They're yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Just go down on your knees and worship me, and they're yours." Jesus' refusal was curt. "Beat it, Satan." He backed his rebuke with a third quotation from Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." The test was over. The devil left, and in his place, angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus' needs.
Jesus' refusal was curt. "Beat it, Satan." He backed his rebuke with a third quotation from Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." The test was over. The devil left, and in his place angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus' needs. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our refuge. Amen. I've titled this sermon, "Lamb of God, Exercising Soft Power." Lamb of God, Exercising Soft Power. We are now in the church season of Lent, a time of preparation for Easter. The Bible stories about the events of Holy Week and the days immediately afterwards are the most important, the most crucial stories for our faith. Christmas is joyful, but Easter is at the heart of Christianity, at the heart of our faith as Christians, as followers of the way of Jesus. Every Easter, as we hear the stories read aloud and see them acted out in church, as we do our own reading, and as we thoughtfully take part in a study group, we are challenged to find meanings and principles that we can apply in our daily lives. We need to give ourselves permission to discover new and deeper meanings, to feel again the emotional pull of these stories, and allow new feelings to come to the surface. The books I have read and the audio recordings I've listened to in recent years by scholars such as Marcus Borg, John Spong, and John Dominic Crossan have led me to question whether Jesus was divine and whether his death on the cross can really have been a deliberate act of God, intended to atone for our sins. You know, the things we shouldn't have done but did, and the things we should have done but didn't. I find it hard to worship a God who would deliberately cause a man to suffer as Jesus suffered. And yet, as I get older, experience more of life, joyfully become a grandparent, the world seems less black and white, and I feel a shift in the way I regard the stories and experiences of Easter. Words and books call to my intellect. Sacred music calls to my heart. Later in the service, we're going to sing a response to the stanzas of our prayer of intercession. The tune is my adaptation of a section of Jonathan Buchan's A Hopkins Gloria. The words are in the New Zealand Anglican Prayer Book and are translated from the Latin Mass of the Catholic Church. They are part of the Christian tradition and have been spoken for many centuries. The Latin text has a lovely ring to it. Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. In English, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. The Lamb of God is Jesus. What does Jesus do for us? We ask God to have mercy on us through Jesus, and Jesus takes away our sin. But there's a softer tone to this teaching. We don't need to believe 100%, hard and fast, without doubt, totally for certain, that God made Jesus die on the cross for us. And if we can't sign up for this understanding, we're not real Christians. We should claim the freedom to rethink and refeel the meaning of Easter for us as individuals and perhaps as a congregation and faith community. There's not just one right answer, one response to Easter. And what we feel is true and affirming of our faith today will change over time. We are on a faith journey. I'm enjoying our Wednesday night study over Zoom that explores the meaning of the events of the 8 days from Palm Sunday to Easter Day. Each episode of the study has an audio recording of John Dominic Crossan talking with the host, followed by 4 or 5 questions for our group to discuss. Our discussions have been respectful and helpful. We're finding new meanings in the Easter story as told in Mark's Gospel. Let's turn to Psalm 32. The psalm writer is writing several centuries before Jesus was born. The writer says, you, that's us as readers of the psalm, get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. Does that message sound familiar? Can you see a parallel with the Easter message that Jesus' death and resurrection gives us a fresh start too? The third verse of our last hymn also picks up this idea. Matariki's spirit guide us, rise within us all the year. Help us live and speak forgiveness, your people want to hear. The psalmist goes on to say, then I let it all out. I said, I'll come clean about my failures to God. Suddenly, the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. If we're honest with ourselves and honest with God, our emotional burdens will be lifted. We are then free to make a fresh start in our lives. The psalm ends with a call to celebration. Celebrate God. Sing together, everyone, all you honest hearts. Raise the roof. Easter Sunday awaits us. And what of exercising soft power? In the story of the temptation in Matthew's Gospel, the devil offers Jesus an opportunity to exercise hard power. If he will just kneel before the devil and accept his overlordship, Jesus will receive unlimited power over the earth and its peoples. Jesus could be a cruel dictator, serving his own ends, answerable only to the devil. But the devil doesn't really have such power to give Jesus. It's an illusion, a mirage. To each of the devil's three temptations, Jesus simply says no. And Jesus frames each refusal with a lesson for us about how we should relate to God. Food is not enough. We need the words God writes on our hearts to sustain us. Respect God. Don't play games with God. We are to worship God and no one or no thing else, and serve others in God's name. In doing this, we exercise soft power. Jesus must have frustrated his followers. They longed for a strong Jewish savior, Messiah, who would eject the Roman invaders and set the world to rights. We know what that sort of power looks like. We are all too familiar with violence, weapons and bombs, war and senseless killing. Jesus was a savior to his followers in his day and offers us a path to salvation today. It's a different way, a softer approach that includes and involves everyone. Using our soft power, we offer a quiet word of encouragement to a struggling new parent. Using our soft power, we make a gentle suggestion of a new direction to someone who can't see a way forward. Using our soft power, we talk out our disagreements and conflicts and seek to build consensus. Using our soft power, we encourage our governments to use diplomacy and not resort to war in our name. In the Lent and Easter seasons, we're still left with difficult faith questions for which there are no easy answers. What does it mean to act like a lamb, not a lion? In what sense does Jesus take away the sin of the world? What does Holy Week mean for us? What does Jesus dying on the cross mean for us? What have we done that means we need to ask for a merciful judgment? Jesus was a different sort of Messiah. Will we follow his way? Amen.